Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Palmolive Shave Cream for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave brings you Our Miss Brooks. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Well, like most high school teachers, our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, has been exposed to her share of puppy love.
I'll say I have. It's getting so I can't look a puppy in the face without flinching. But the kids at school are nothing compared to the case I discovered at home between my landlady, Mrs. Davis, and Horace Barlow, the school's new basement custodian. Although she met him a week ago at a school tea, up until Thursday morning at breakfast, she kept denying anything but a passing interest in him.
Please, Connie. Just because Horace Barlow has been over a few times is no reason for people to jump to conclusions. My goodness, Horace isn't jumping to conclusions.
At his age, Horace is lucky if he can limp to conclusions. But I've seen you two together, Mrs. Davis.
As far as I'm concerned, I think of Horace as a real nice boy.
And he is, too. A real nice 68-year-old boy.
He happens to be 54, Connie. He told me so himself.
I know, Mrs. Davis. And Jack Benny is 39. Not that I'm criticizing your friendship. Far from it. I'm delighted that Horace is so genuinely fond of you.
Oh, Connie, Horace doesn't even know I'm alive.
Well, don't let that worry you. It's hard to tell about him most of the time.
Anyway, I'm simply not interested in anything but the most casual relationship. Heavens, if I were thinking seriously, I'd try to find out something about the man, wouldn't I?
Haven't you?
Definitely not. I'm not even mildly curious. I haven't even the slightest idea where he keeps his $10,000 life insurance policy. And I have no knowledge whatsoever of how he got his leg wounded in the Mexican War, for which he gets a $53 a month pension. I don't even know what bank he keeps his $2,619 savings account in.
Shame on you. You haven't even gotten his Social Security number.
It's 498265.
Oh, that's Walter Denton. He's taking me to school. Be right there, Walter. Now, is there anything you want me to say to Mr. Barlow for you if I happen to see him at school?
Not a thing, Connie.
Okay.
There's no necessity of even mentioning to him that I'm not busy tonight.
I see.
And there's no need for any remarks about the cake I'm baking today being too big for one person to finish alone.
I'll be as silent as the tomb.
And above all, it would be utterly shameless if he were to hear that I don't want to waste the box of cigars I bought yesterday.
You can trust me implicitly, Mrs. Davis. I won't say a word to Mr. Barlow. I'll just hit him on the head and drag him home. I'm glad you picked me up early this morning, Walter. I've got an errand to do for Mrs. Davis before my first class.
I'll get you there with the speed of a gazelle, Miss Brooks. Oh, by the way, how's Mrs. Davis's romance with Mr. Barlow coming along?
Oh, have you noticed that too? I think it's the cutest thing in the world. Mrs. Davis actually has a bad case of puppy love.
It is cute, considering she's in her second puppyhood. No disrespect intended, you understand. After all, what can be more romantic than two lonely old people encountering the grand passion in the sere and yellow leaf of life?
Why, that's absolutely poetic, Walter.
The burning desires of youth long past. They look now for the subdued glow of companionship, the warm and simple pleasures that two elderly people in love can share together.
I can see them now, soaking their feet in the same pan of Epsom salts.
I bet you'd like to find romance at that age, Miss Brooks.
At the rate I'm going now, I'm counting on it. But, Walter, I'd just as soon you don't mention the subject at school. It might be a source of embarrassment to Mr. Barlow.
My trap is sealed, Miss Brooks. Now, what's the errand you're going to do for Mrs. Davis this morning?
Well, off the record, I'm going to invite Mr. Barlow over to the house tonight. He's been a little backward about asking for a date.
I get it. You're Mrs. Davis's John Alden. Now, all you gotta do is get Mr. Barlow to invite Mr. Boynton over, and you're all set.
Meeting's adjourned.
Hi, Miss Brooks. You're pretty early today, aren't you?
Hello, Harriet. I've got to deliver a message to the custodian. Have you seen him?
Oh, yes. Mr. Barlow just went into his office. Isn't it wonderful, Miss Brooks?
I don't know. I've never been in his office.
I mean about Mr. Barlow and Mrs. Davis. They're crazy about each other. Of course, it's a big secret.
It couldn't be a bigger secret if they took out an ad.
Is there anything more romantic than the mellow romance of old age?
Now please, Harriet.
To think of two people finding love at a time of life when others are preparing to pass on. Two people walking hand in hand in the twilight of life.
Yes, there's nothing like a brisk walk before passing on.
Well, I won't keep you any longer. Far be it from me to delay Mrs. Davis's emissary of love. Good luck in your mission, John Alden.
Thank you, Priscilla.
Come in.
I hope I'm not disturbing you, Mr. Barlow, but there's something I wanted to ask you.
Well, then go ahead and ask. You want to get apples? You got to shake the tree. Well, what is it?
It's just this. I was wondering if tonight, that is, if you haven't any other plans, Mrs. Davis isn't doing anything, and I'm sure she'd be pleased if you wanted to drop over.
Well, that's right, neighborly. Would you like me to drop over?
Of course. I'm sure you and Mrs. Davis will have a lovely evening together.
Are you planning on staying in, Miss Brooks?
Well, I suppose so, Mr. Barlow, but I'm sure that at your age, you don't need any chaperones.
You're right about that. Maybe we could send Mrs. Davis to a movie.
Send Mrs. Davis to a movie?
Sure. Oh, there's no sense in my trying to hide it any longer. Why, the only reason I've been coming around Mrs. Davis' place is to be near you.
Near me? But you've been making dates with Mrs. Davis.
Well, naturally. You gotta slip the drones a little honey if you want to get next to the queen bee.
You, Mr. Barlow, are barking up the wrong hive. This is ridiculous. I simply can't believe it's even happening.
I couldn't believe it myself. I just couldn't understand the feeling that swept over me when I first saw you, Miss Brooks. In fact, since that time, I've had my glasses changed twice. But it's still the same. I keep asking myself, where have you been all my life?
For three quarters of it, I wasn't even born. Look, Mr. Barlow, there's a great difference in our ages, and...
Nonsense, Miss Brooks. I just don't believe in age.
Well, neither do I. I've been standing it off for years. I mean, if you'll think this over for a while, you'll realize that it just couldn't work out.
Oh, why not? Is there somebody else playing the piano in your front parlor?
No, but Mr. Boynton plays the ukulele on my back porch. We've been going together for quite a while now.
You mean that biology fella? Oh, shucks, he's just an unsophisticated kid. Well, you couldn't warm him up if you stuck a Bunsen burner under him.
You've been peeking? That is, Mr. Boynton's just shy about expressing his feelings.
He ain't got no feelings, if you ask me. Leastwise, not like I have, especially since I met you. Well, I just knew today was going to bring some excitement into my life. I got the strangest sensation right after breakfast.
Maybe something fell into your oatmeal.
There's no two ways about it, sis. I'm smitten.
Well, would it unsmit you if I told you I'm engaged to Mr. Boynton?
Engaged? But he wasn't even over to your place the night I visited Mrs. Davis.
He must have been working. If you come over tonight, I'm sure he'll be there.
Well, seeing is believing. I'll drop by, Miss Brooks, but I still say, when it comes to your bringing me messages from Mrs. Davis, speak for yourself, John Alden.
There's no use talking. These man-tailored suits have got to go.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream, it cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate toothpaste.
Cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best. Yes, the Colgate way is the most thoroughly proven and accepted home method of oral hygiene known today. Over 2 years' research showed brushing teeth right after eating with Colgate Dental Cream helped stop more decay for more people than ever before reported in dentrifice history. No other dentrifice, ammoniated or not, offers such conclusive proof. And you should know that Colgate, while not mentioned by name, was the only toothpaste used in the research on tooth decay recently reported in Reader's Digest. So always follow the Colgate way to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and stop tooth decay best.
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream, it cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
Colgate toothpaste.
Cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
What a cleans your teeth.
And the Colgate way stops tooth decay best. We hope you're enjoying this evening's Maplewood Barn presentation of Puppy Love from Our Miss Brooks. As we pause for intermission, remember to join us for the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater each Friday evening at 6:30 on KBIA. Next week, it's Mystery and Intrigue from Inner Sanctum, a program titled The Dead Laugh. That's 1 week from tonight. 2 weeks from now, we'll all laugh with another from Our Miss Brooks, this one titled A Plaque for Mr. Conklin. And remember, coming up in April, we're going to have a special one-hour presentation of Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. Now, the original production was a great one with Orson Welles, Margaret Hamilton, Agnes Moorehead, Ray Collins, and Joan Fontaine. You'll hear our production coming up in April. Make plans to be with us every Friday evening for the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Now more of tonight's presentation of Puppy Love with Our Miss Brooks.
Oh, Mr. Conklin, I'm terribly sorry, sir.
You're slipping, Miss Brooks. You only knocked 2 dishes off my tray today.
I guess I didn't watch where I was going.
Obviously. When you do, you get the whole tray.
Well, luckily nothing happened to your apple pie. The plate is broken, but the pie is intact. Here.
Thank you. Even more luckily, nothing seems to have gotten on my clothes.
No, sir. I've never seen you look so neat. White carnation and all.
I spoke too soon. That's vanilla ice cream.
This never would have happened, sir, but I'm terribly preoccupied today.
This must be preoccupied day in Madison High. I've got nothing but trouble from our new school custodian for the same reason.
You mean Mr. Barlow?
Yes, he forgets about the furnace. He forgets about the pipes. The old gold axe, as if he was in love.
Maybe he is in love.
But who could a 70-year-old codger be in love with?
He happens to be 54.
Yes, and Jack Benny is 39. Horace Barlow in love at his age. He probably can't tell the difference between a woman and a kangaroo.
Probably not. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll be hopping off to lunch. No doubt I'll run into you later in the day, Mr. Conklin.
It is with that thought in mind that I carry every possible form of accident and hospitalization insurance. Good day, Miss Brooks.
Good day, Mr. Conklin. He's got a lot of nerve. Just because a person's lived a few more years than some other person...
I don't like to interrupt, Miss Brooks, but if you keep talking to yourself, you'll make an eavesdropper out of me.
I'm sorry, Walter. I've had a little shock this morning. You see, I spoke to Horace Barlow a short time ago about making a date with Mrs. Davis.
Well, what did he say?
He said he's not interested in Mrs. Davis. He's smitten with somebody else.
Somebody else? But he can't do that to Mrs. Davis. She's a very sensitive little lady, and she's nuts about him. She'll be terribly hurt.
That's what I'm afraid of.
He doesn't know when he's well off. I'd like to see the hunk of crowbait he's fallen for.
Now, just a minute, Walter. It so happens that Mr. Barlow thinks he's in love with me.
With you? But that's illegal. It's unthinkable.
Let's just call it unusual. Actually, Walter, I'm extremely worried about the situation. Mrs. Davis and I have been friends for too long to let a thing like this come between us.
Well, why don't you just tell Barlow to go peddle his papers?
I did, practically. I even told him I was engaged to Mr. Boynton. That's what I'm worried about. They're both coming over tonight, and I've got to prove it.
Well, what's so tough about that? I'm sure Mr. Boynton will cooperate.
You are?
Sure, for one night.
Oh.
Now, the next thing you gotta do is get Mrs. Davis out of the house tonight. Because if she's caught you and Mr. Boynton acting as if you were engaged, she'd know something was rotten in Denmark.
What a sweet way to put it. But, Walter, how do I get Mrs. Davis out of the house?
Well, easy. There's an old bachelor friend staying at the house for a couple of days. Mr. Gordon. I'm sure he'd like a date with a nice, clean-cut character like Mrs. Davis. And I'll ask her to go out with him as a favor to my folks.
What about Mr. Barlow? She expects him tonight.
Well, just tell her he couldn't make it. Say his blood pressure hit a new high or something. Now, you go call Mr. Boynton, and I'll call home and make sure Mr. Gordon's available to act as Davis bait for the evening. See you later, Miss Brooks.
All right, Walter, and thanks. Me and the night and the music. Da 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 da. Oh, Mr. Boynton, I've got to talk to you right away.
Oh? What's wrong, Miss Brooks?
It's about Mrs. Davis. You know, she's got a crush on the school custodian, Mr. Barlow. But unfortunately, he's head over heels in love with somebody else.
Please, Miss Brooks, don't make me laugh while I'm drinking coffee. Mr. Barlow's an old man. What kind of a shriveled up prune could he fall for?
Why does it have to be a prune? For all you know, Mr. Barlow could be crazy about a nice, young, firm, fuzzy peach. Besides, he's only 48.
Why, he's 70 at least, and not what you would call in prime condition. Why, his hyperthyroidism is apparent, and his incipient arteriosclerosis masking cardiac decompensation was evident to me after one glance.
It's a good thing you didn't take a second glance. He'd be a goner. The truth is, Mr. Boynton, Mr. Barlow has been coming to our place just to be near me. If I'd known you were going to get so excited, I'd have worn my raincoat. Here, use this napkin.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Brooks, but I couldn't help exploding. You mean to tell me Mr. Barlow's in love with you?
That's right. We hyperthyroids have to stick together. Look, Mr. Boynton, I know it's an absurd situation, but my only real concern is Mrs. Davis. I've got to discourage Mr. Barlow once and for all, and you've got to help me.
Me? What can I do?
Well, he's coming over to our place tonight. I invited him on behalf of Mrs. Davis. That's when he told me how he felt about me. And that's when I told him something utterly fantastic.
What did you tell him?
That you and I were engaged to be married. Here's the napkin.
Engaged to be married? But, Miss Brooks, that's utterly fantastic.
I'm glad I said it first. Don't you see, Mr. Boynton, this is very important to someone who's very important to me. Mrs. Davis is just about the best friend I've got.
Well, if that's the case, Miss Brooks, I guess the least I can do is cooperate.
Will you really, Mr. Boynton?
Sure, for one night.
Oh.
Oh boy, I'm full. That was a very fine dinner, Miss Brooks.
I'm glad you liked it, Mr. Boynton. I opened it all by myself. I hope Mr. Gordon took Mrs. Davis to a nice place for dinner. He appears to be a jolly old fellow, doesn't he?
Yes, indeed. And I noticed he gave you a pretty thorough once-over when you were introduced. You seem to pack quite a wallop for those elderly Joes.
That's me. the Cleopatra of the cardiac cases. But I've got to clear away these dishes now. Mr. Barlow will be over any minute.
Well, if that's the case, shouldn't we be getting into the mood?
The mood?
Well, yes. We're supposed to be engaged, aren't we?
Oh, that mood. Why, Mr. Boynton, I can hardly believe my ears.
Why? There's no sense making a chore out of this thing. We might as well have some fun doing it.
Fun doing it?
Why, certainly. Now let's get started.
Get started?
Well, the quicker the better.
Quicker the better?
Of course. Come on.
Come on? I mean, come on.
Well, sure. You wash and I'll dry.
So much for the hopes of Connie Brooks, girl dreamer. Look, Mr. Boynton, working in the kitchen is the way married people would get into the mood. Engaged couples do their work in the parlor with soft lights.
Okay, we'll take a big basin of water and do the dishes in the parlor.
Sometimes I wish you were ugly. Come on, Mr. Boynton. I'll attend to the dishes later. Let's just sit down in the living room,
All right, Miss Brooks. It isn't too healthy to commence working too soon after a meal anyway.
That must be Mr. Barlow. Just make yourself comfortable. I'll let him in.
Well, here I am, Brooksy. Fit as a fiddle and twice as musical.
Come in, Mr. Barlow. I fixed a little dinner this evening for my fiancé. We've just finished eating it. Follow me, won't you?
Your fiancé?
Then you mean you actually...
Hello, darling. Did you miss me?
Miss you?
Well, I hated to leave you alone for so many seconds, but I just had to let Mr. Barlow in. You remember Mr. Barlow, don't you, dear?
Oh, of course. How are you, Mr. Barlow?
Snappy as a cookie and twice as full of ginger. But let's get to the point. Miss Brooks here told me that you two are engaged. Is that true?
Well, yes. Yes, it is.
Well, then how come nobody around school's heard anything about it?
Because we wanted it that way. We've been secretly engaged for over 6 months now, haven't we, darling?
We certainly have, Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks? Why does he call you Miss Brooks if you're going to be married?
He doesn't like any display of affection in front of company. Let's sit down, shall we? Mr. Barlow, draw up a chair, won't you? And, sweetheart, you draw up a chair and we'll sit down.
But, Miss Brooks, I worked out with the basketball team yesterday and my knees are a little weak.
May be a foul, but I'll never get a shot like this again. Sit down, dear. There we are, comfy.
Yeah.
Seems mighty strange to me. Most engaged folks I've seen act a little more demonstrative than you do.
But we're mad for each other, aren't we, darling?
Yeah, mad.
You know, dearie, you haven't kissed me in 5 minutes.
What?
I said you haven't kissed me in 5 minutes. What are we gonna do about that?
Let's wait another five, huh?
What's the matter, darling? You want to kiss me, don't you?
Oh, maybe it's me, Miss Brooks.
Oh, no, I'm positive he doesn't want to kiss you. Oh, you mean he doesn't want to kiss me in your presence? I'm sure that wouldn't stop my great, big, handsome lover boy, would it, dearest?
Well, certainly not. Give me your cheek. There.
Wow. Now, how about one to get me down off the ceiling?
Maybe I ought to go.
But why, Mr. Barlow? You just got here.
I know, but won't I be interrupting something?
Only if you go. I mean, stick around a little while longer. I'll see who it is. Don't move, either of you.
Sorry to disturb you, Connie, but I forgot my key again.
Mrs. Davis, what are you doing home so early? Here, let me help you off with your coat and eyeglasses.
Mr. Gordon showed me the most wonderful time, Connie, but he has a business appointment first thing in the morning, so we had to cut our date a bit short. Oh, who's that in the living room?
That's Mr. Boynton.
Oh, I see. And who's the man in the other chair?
That's Mr. Boynton, too. He's awfully restless tonight.
Oh, now I see who that is. It's Mr. Barlow. But you told me he wasn't coming over tonight.
He must have changed his mind. Listen, Mrs. Davis, when two people have a beautiful friendship, they've got to do everything in their power to keep it from breaking up, right?
Let's talk later, dear. I've got to get these shoes off at once. Mr. Gordon just danced my tootsies into a stupor. He's a wonderful man, Connie. That's why I want you to do me a little favor.
A favor?
Yes. When you go back into the living room.
What do you want me to do, Mrs. Davis?
Brush off that other old creep, will ya?
You mean Mr. Barlow?
Yes, I haven't the heart to hurt his feelings.
Well, it'll save a lot of explanations, I guess. But I know I'm going to get two birds with one stone.
What do you mean, Connie?
As soon as the old duck is gone, my little lovebird will take off like a wounded pelican.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, I told Mr. Barlow that Mrs. Davis had returned home with a bad headache, and he left the house after threatening to call her up very soon. Then, as I was about to barricade the door against Mr. Boynton's next move, he addressed me.
Well, I'm sorry Mrs. Davis doesn't feel well, Miss Brooks. Is she lying down in her room?
Yes, she is, Mr. Boynton.
Well, that leaves just the two of us, doesn't it?
Yes. But don't be nervous. It's much too early for you. It's much too early for you to think of leaving.
Oh, I'm not thinking of leaving, Miss Brooks. You and I still have plenty of unfinished business to attend to.
Unfinished business?
Well, certainly.
You and I?
That's right. After all, somebody's got to do those dinner dishes. Why don't you wash and I'll dry?
Better still, you wash and dry. I've got another engagement.
Another engagement?
Sure. If I hurry, I can catch Mr. Barlow before he gets on the bus.
Our Miss Brooks Puppy Love has been presented by the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and the Maplewood Barn Players. This is your announcer, Darren Helwedge. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week. And remember again, next week on the program, it's Inner Sanctum, one of the mystery programs, this one called The Dead Laugh. That one's going to be very interesting. 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to hear another from the Our Miss Brooks series like we just had tonight. This one's called A Plaque for Mr. Conklin. And coming in April, a special one-hour presentation of Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. So we've got some great stuff coming up each week. The Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Make plans to tune in every Friday evening for these programs from the golden age of radio, performed by the best of the local theater scene. It's the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Tune in every Friday evening at 6:30 on KBIA.